Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode 44 of Beyond Retro. I'm hungover Nathan Kennedy, joined by Tank Tops Tyler Baker and our residential man behind the mask, Joe Amato, the boogeyman himself. Gentlemen, how are we doing this week? Last night was terrible for me, but we'll get into your week and how everything went first.
Fine here. Everything was okay here, I guess. But I don't know about Tyler, and then I'll have to hear about why yours was so bad, I guess.
No, I don't have anything really nothing detrimental or monumental or in anything in that regard. Not in comparison to what Nathan's talking about. So,
all right, well, it's my turn to bitch. All right, so basically at my job, there's going to be a shutdown in the plant. So there's going to be 2 weeks vacation essentially, and that's going to be awesome. So yesterday, obviously the last day before vacation, and a lot of people just decided to call out for just not to be there. And I'm like, all right, I get it to a degree. I mean, you're going to have less money, of course. So just completely shorthanded everywhere. And in the department that I'm in, the people that really know how to do the job weren't there. So the people that were there don't really know how to do the job. And it was just a trudge. It just slow motion all day. It was just bad. But they're still pretending like we're running at full strength. And I'm like, I'm just over there, like, just getting pissed off. So it was just a terrible way to start vacation. But it's over. It's in the past. And now I'm looking forward to 2 weeks of just not really doing a whole lot. I mean, tomorrow is going to be a lot of fun because Tyler and I are going to that convention.
What convention is that?
It's the Raleigh Supercon. We're going to be meeting, four people?
Yeah, four.
Yeah.
I'm not going past four because I don't have the money for it.
Well, we are meeting some of the cast of Karate Kid, Cobra Kai. We're meeting Kevin Conroy, voice of Batman. It's going to be nice. And I think what I'm going to do, too, is film some stuff and kind of do like a vlog about it and put it up on the channel, edit it together. Make it look kind of nice, something for the people to watch. You know, that way, if anything bad happens, we have a bad experience, we can document it. And everyone
don't have enough of those.
Yeah, I was going to say, you guys always talk about it. It'd be interesting to see one of these actually happen.
Yeah, well, that's kind of why I want to do it, too, you know, for people that don't really get to go to them as often. I mean, we don't really go to them as much either. It's just been Mad Monster every year. But this one's going to be sort of different. It's, obviously not a horror convention, but it's actually going to be in a bigger building. And there's going to be a lot of people that are dressed up. It's going to have a big fight feel to it, if that makes any sense. It's going to feel like a legitimate convention and not just what Mad Monster tries to pull off as a convention every year.
It'll be your first convention where everything runs real smoothly, nothing goes bad. It's like, well, see, these guys don't have all bad experiences, but hopefully you guys have a great time either way.
Well, I mean, it's going to be a lot to cram into one day because it's about a 3.5-hour drive. So that's going to be the beauty of it because I am not a morning person at all. So I'm going to have to be up usually when Tyler gets up, and I'll probably show up and just be like, I'm fucking tired. And he's just going to be like, I'm ready to go.
Yeah, and he won't show up when he says he will. You know, I'm sure instead of 8 o'clock, it'll be 10 o'clock. And then
it'll be like 8:15.
Yeah, and I'll be sitting around just like, yeah, it's fine, man. Yeah, sure.
Clock's ticking. I'm missing all my autographs.
So, but yeah, it should be I'm not looking forward to it. It definitely looks like it's going to be one of those overly crowded places. That part, I'm like, oh, God. It's like, even if it's as big as it is, it's probably jam-packed. But people are like, hey, check out my cosplay here, man. You want a picture with me for $5? No!
I'm kind of curious how many Harley Quinns we're going to run into in varying sizes.
Yes, and Deadpool's like, I get it. You like it. Can we move on now?
Stop dressing up and having
I'm
fun.
I'm just sick of this infatuation with Harley Quinn, and it's strictly the current Harley Quinn. Yeah. It's not, you know, the mythology around that character. It's just this bullshit Suicide Squad version of Harley Quinn. And I'm like, God, I am so sick of it.
And people really charge $5 just a random
I don't think anyone's going to be charging any money to take a picture.
Well, but there are people that do make a living at going to conventions as a cosplayer, and yes, that they...
Well, yeah, but half the time they usually have their own little booth that they're set up at that they're selling autographed pictures.
True, but I just think it's a complete nonsense to think that you're going to charge people because you think you're that much of a pseudo-celebrity because you can... have the money and time to put into a costume and think that because you got a booth 50 feet away from the man who voiced Batman that you can charge.
You know, I really don't think that they would have a layout like that. It's like, oh,
I know, but just the audacity to think that, you know what, that you are just like, I dress up as Deadpool. I deserve to be in the same wing as Ralph Macchio and Kevin Conroy and Dave Bautista and the rest of them, you know.
Well, like, Bautista's only there today. See, the beauty of it is we're going on a Sunday, so hopefully it won't be as madhouse like it is right now.
Yeah, Saturdays are always going to be more chaotic no matter when you go, so. Or where you go, excuse me.
It's going to be a good time. The only thing I'm not looking forward to is just the drive down just because it's so long. But with Tyler in the car, he's going to be sitting there talking my ear off anyway.
Yeah, complaining about this or complaining about that, and Emily's laughing or pretending to laugh while she's like, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
I mean,
about.
What we should do if, you know, had the capability is just, and I don't want to suck up all the data, but just live your stream. Live stream the car ride. Yeah, that would be awesome, but meh.
It probably would work. All right, man. Well, how are we going to start this? You want to start off, Nathan, with talking about one of the great, great movies from our childhood, and that's Big. What a damn good movie.
It really is, and it's surprising to look and see that not only did Tom Hanks win a Golden Globe for his role in this film, but he was nominated for an Academy Award. And it just kind of, I mean, understandably so, like, I'm awful, but it just sort of blew my mind to really think about it, this movie. You know, because when you think about Academy Award nominated films, it's not something like Big. You know, it's some
it's big bullshit.
Yeah, you know, some hipster movie where they got their cup of coffee right here, and
yeah, and they're hanging out in some middle of nowhere town of Nebraska. And, you know, all the guys look goofy as hell, and the girls are all quirky and weird, and you know, they're standing on a desolate road and. To talk about how their lives suck, but you know what? That's what the road is all about. It's about bullshit. And it's like with the Sid Naked Gun 3. What won Best Picture? The Bomb. No.
Yeah.
And that still rings true today. So,
but it's just what a fantastic movie that also, because I watched it a lot when it came on TV as a kid, but watching it as an adult, I get that appreciation of like, it's just weird. I remember vividly, you know, you're 12, 13 years old, like Josh is in this movie, and all you want to do is to be older so you can drive and go do what you want and everything. And as you get older, you kind of want to go back and be a kid sometimes. I mean, circumstances vary because some kids had like really shitty childhoods and just never want to go back to that. But for me personally, I was talking to Emily about it. I was like, man, like sometimes I really do miss just being a kid, not having certain responsibilities or having to worry about bills and shit like that. Like I could just wake up, play a video game for half the day. Oh, we're going to this and get like a toy. You know, like I miss, and I could still do that now, but I'm just saying like, I would like to go back and just not have all that other shit that life throws at you. Because man, like, young kids don't, I mean, maybe it's changed since then, but I never paid attention to the news. Like, everything's terrible now. Like, the world itself is just, like, bad all around. There's always just bad, terrible things happening constantly. And as a kid, that's just some other realm that you're not even paying any attention to. And I miss that sometimes. I don't know if you guys feel the same way at all, but If there was a Zoltar machine, I would probably be popping a coin in and be like, I want to be 12 again. Just maybe without all the acne and bullying that came along with it. But,
No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
So, like, because the movie, you know, it's I almost felt like not just being older. I felt like what he really was trying to say was he just wanted to be a little bit bigger. You know, he couldn't get on the rides. He's too small. And you know, the hot chick that he kind of had a thing for, you know, that Cynthia, you know, she was with what, Derek or something. He drives, you know, and he's feeling like you said, yes, he'd like to be a little older, but probably a little bit taller. And boy, did it completely go in a whole different direction, you know, like making him into a 30-year-old guy. But no, you're right. When you were a kid, I don't remember watching the news. It was like you were in your own world. You didn't have like, you know, there weren't those kind of adult responsibilities. Sure, you had your chores you do around the house, but when you become an adult and you're doing, you know, you have to pay your bills and you have a job, it's quite different. And you're right, just the simplicity of just being a kid. Like you said, just waking up, play a game, go outside, do something. Even like, you know, when you went to school, you still came home, did your homework, but you're playing. You don't have nothing to worry about. But I never remember watching the news. Now it's like it's just shoved in your face. And definitely as an adult, that's all you see.
And I felt that time went by a lot slower, too. Like, as a kid, anticipating Christmas just seemed like it was forever. And now it seems like nothing. You know, summer vacation from school seemed like a really long time. And now, to me, it's nothing. Like, if I were to have this 2-week vacation back as a kid, I'd be like, oh, man, this is amazing. There's so much time. And now, I feel like tomorrow I'm going to wake up and I'm back at work again. So, it's kind of depressing to think about sometimes.
No, it can be. But no, and as for the movie Big itself, like I said, we'll discuss all the crazy different plots and things in it. But what I always enjoy is when I find something different. You know, I've always, of course, you know, being obsessed with Masters, we're always trying to find, oh, look, there's the Eternia poster. And oh, look, there's Claudine. And there's this. You know, like you're seeing so many things. And I watched it again yesterday. It's like, how did I never notice right when he jumped out of, you know, his bunk bed and landed on the ground? The first thing you see is a broken Bionitops. I was like, how the hell did I never notice that before? And it's just,
you didn't notice that until I thought you just were posting that because of what we were doing today. How the hell did you not notice
that? That's what I just said. How the hell did I miss it? I've never noticed. I've noticed everything else when they had Squeeze and Roboto in the background and seeing Claudine in the background. Of course, the Attorney of Play set and everything else. But I was like, how didn't I notice that? And then, you know, going to fan theories, it's like when he's sitting there with the big old building robot, and in back of him, there's like a sketch. And it sure looks like similar, a sketch to that style guide of Hero that we've all seen. And I'm not saying it was or is an actual early sketch of it, but like there's theories of could have been possible there was Mattel employees that for that movie just drew up some funny, goofy sketches to put in the background. And one was a little homage to Hero because it almost had the same pose and everything. But I just love looking and finding different things now, you know, besides the movie being great itself. I just love seeing those little Easter eggs and different things, like theories, you know, in the background.
Well, I wasn't like keeping an eye out to look for that stuff, but I did notice the Eternia poster in the background. I was like, oh, hey, that's kind of neat.
Yeah. And the McMillan logo is obviously a little homage to Mattel with, you know, that kind of like starburst circle and, you know, switching it up. And I even heard somebody, Timothy Clark, who worked on the Sectars line, who basically was one of the creators of Sectars. He said that building that they were in, I guess, was an original Hasbro building or something. I was like, well, I didn't know that either. It's just all the fun things that you kind of learn from behind the scenes stuff, enough of which I still haven't got enough of, meaning I still probably could learn so many behind the scenes stuff that I don't even know about that movie. And what's
That's why we're going to kick it to Tyler, because Tyler is the encyclopedia for all this stuff. And he's like, I got nothing. I don't know anything about this.
I mean, I often feel like because they've done like a retrospect on the film, but unfortunately, like this one and many others, they don't tell you. You know, I crave like to know everything from in-depth concepts and the original script, the ideas, and how it got greenlit and all that stuff. They don't tell you all that stuff, and then when you find it online, you're like, you don't know whether it's true or not. You don't know if some jerk off decided I'm going to put this on IMDb and people think I'm smart, and then I got an inside track. I'm like, you don't know, and it's just one of those things where I would love to know a lot more about, you know. It makes me think of Nathan setting me up for like a big disappointment regarding this film. I wonder if he remembers where I'm going with this. Was when they announced that the special edition was coming out with the retrospect. And I swear to God, all I heard from Nathan, and at some point he clearly told me something else, but all I heard from him was on the special edition, there was going to be an alternate ending.
Oh, yeah.
where Elizabeth Perkins' character shows up at school as the new classmate in Josh's class. And I thought, oh, my God. It's like, this is incredible. I went out. I bought it. I went home. And I just said, I'm going to let this build up. I'm going to watch the retrospect. And I'm going to watch it from beginning to end.
Yeah, but wouldn't it have put that on the back of the packaging?
Well, that's what I'm saying. I went by what Nathan had said. And that, you know, Nathan, you know, was always really good about reporting stuff I hadn't heard about.
That's just what I heard.
Yeah, and I watched it from beginning to end, nothing. Okay, I checked the deleted scenes, nothing. And I just kind of just sat. I was like Josh in the hotel. I just started crying, you know. It's like I'd have been safer sitting in a junky hotel, you know, with people being shot outside. He just hears
gunshots in the background.
Yeah, I just lay down in my bed and just go, Mom. Because you know, I just thought, this is bullshit. You know, because that ending to this day breaks my heart. Like, I have a hard time watching the film now because the ending is so gut-wrenching of watching this development of this really sincere and sweet relationship between Tom and Elizabeth in the film. And then he decides he wants to go back home. And I so hate it for Elizabeth Perkins because she's such a great character in the film. And when they're setting up, I know we're jumping ahead, but that's what just made this such a big deal to me. Cause I just thought that would be such a great way of ending the film. Had she decided to follow Josh back to childhood because she understood what, that you don't have to live life as such a stiff. And that's something I would love to at some point on this episode, because we're all big pop culture fans and movie junkies and toy collectors and stuff like that too. I'd like to think that, you know, when she brings Tom, or excuse me, Tom brings her back to his apartment, and she sees the place is surrounded by the exact opposite of what she's expecting, that it's a big playhouse, so to speak, and yet she's decides to stay the night and is ready to sleep with the guy, but he's not actually going to sleep with her. And she's saying the guy's got Thundercat bed sheets and an inflatable Godzilla, pinball machine requires no quarters, a rigged Pepsi machine, a trampoline. And that, you know what? You don't have to be this stiff who doesn't know how to have fun. You got to do the essentials of what's expected of you as an adult. You know, that I just feel, I'd like to think that men and women, once they get our age, if they haven't already discovered it already, that you know, you can still do this kind of stuff, that you don't feel like you have to follow the essentials of being an adult, that you should still be able to, you know what, go on and jump on a trampoline when you see it, or that you can play pinball and not hesitate to feel like that you're a damn dork, or that you can have a lot of fun stuff all around, that you can still remember what it's like to be a kid and not always maintain that mentality of like, well, I'm an adult, I can't do anything fun anymore or anything like that. So I just thought that was so special. And that's why it was just so hard for me to watch the ending now, because I just felt it was so, such a great love story in the movie. And it's something I didn't really pay attention to much as a kid. It was something I really got, like, I really liked how they built that up. And you feel bad for her character, that she's dealt with a lot of shitty guys. And John Hurd in the movie, you know, known from the dad from Holland, I don't get it. Great prick in the movie. And that this girl finds, you know, that she has fallen for this 12-year-old boy, but sees him as just this really good guy. And like, God, it's just so, it sucks when she sees him transform and realize what she's been dealing with the whole time. It just breaks the heart to see that. And of course, Josh walks in, his mom goes nuts. It's just, I don't know whether to finish that movie feeling good or just feeling really sad. You know, it's more uplifting than watching Edward Scissorhands, but you're just like, man, it still sucks, man. Like, maybe you think I brought down the momentum of this podcast.
No. Oh, but it's possible you think, well, in 6 years, maybe he'd see her again, like he'd want it.
She said 10 years, right? And she was like, maybe in 10 years.
I was thinking, in my head, even though she was saying that, I was thinking, well, come on, 6 years going to be 18, 19. Come on, that's good.
Well,
enough,
right? All right. Well, how old do you, are we assuming that she's probably 30, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger?
I'm going to say 30 or 31. I would say that. I mean,
I'd say like 28, 29, 30, 31, somewhere within that 4-year range I mean, that's it. Because I remember what it was like to be lovesick as a kid when you run into a girl at the beach and you'll never see her again, or someone that you had a crush on, you realize, oh, I'll never see her again. So that's what I kind of feel like that would be, you know, like to walk away from this beautiful woman where you had your first sexual encounter. You probably won't know it again for many more years, but to have that attachment, to have this beautiful woman fall for you, I almost feel like I would be able to recover from that. I would be so lovesick over losing someone like Elizabeth Perkins, having become like a 30-year-old man and then being transformed back to a 12-year-old boy and hanging out with Nathan or something like that. And, you know, I'm like, hey,
it's just not the same.
Yeah.
Hey, let's go play some SmackDown 2. No, I can't.
I can't, man.
I miss her so much.
Yeah, that would have been me. I mean, that's, you know, Nathan, like, come on, man. And he'd be busting my balls, and, you know, I'm sure what time would heal or something like that. But I know for me, I don't know how I'd be able to recover from that emotionally, to be able to experience that kind of excitement and enjoyment. And, or like when he gets his first paycheck, $187.
Yeah, 100%. You know? Yeah, they really, like, screw, yeah, you, don't they?
Big deal when you're 12 years old. God almighty, man. I thought getting $8 or $20 was a big deal to me as a kid. $187?
Yeah. I remember one time I won like $50 in first grade, and I was just like, oh, holy shit. And I went and bought a video game that night.
Blew it all.
Yep. It was a Tecmo Super Bowl for NES. Fantastic game. Fantastic football game. That's probably like the only football game I ever go back and play.
Yeah, you don't need to have – exactly. You don't have to have professional teams. Just same thing with Double Dribble. It's one of those games you don't need to have real –
Well, no. Like, this one actually acquired the license. Like, Tecmo Bowl didn't, but then they had a sequel on NES, and that had, like, all the players, all the teams, everything. And it had season simulators and shit. It was well ahead of its time. Anyway.
Yeah, because like I said, unlike all the games nowadays, it's all about the graphics of crap, and nobody wants to go back and play them because it's hurting on the eyes. But I get you. But no, you know, I don't even want to mention the first game I bought because it'll make me feel too old. And that was that's Asteroids.
You're worried about that on a podcast where all we do is reminisce about the past?
Well, here we go. I sat there and I had
I did it now.
Tyler's like, fuck, like, damn, no, don't open the door for him.
All right, well, there was an Asteroids competition and he won it and got prize money.
I still remember the shape of it, but my dad made a wooden bank for me. And all I would do was just put pennies in it. Anytime I found a penny, no other coin, just pennies. And eventually got too full. We had to smash it open. And my grandma helped roll the pennies with me. We had penny rolls. End up having about $28 worth of pennies. And Asteroids was like a $25 game. It was the first game I bought. And oh my God, I feel older than fucking dirt.
Why pennies though? Like, you just come across a quarter and you're like, no, that's too much.
Hell with that. No, man.
I need this penny.
That was it. It was my penny bank. And I just put all pennies. And I was always finding pennies as a kid. And, you know, nobody wanted them in the change. And
yeah, no one wants pennies.
Nobody wants pennies. So I took it and I collected. I got about $28 worth of pennies. And yeah, so about $25 game. So there's Joe's old.
It's a good thing the dollar menu at McDonald's didn't exist back then.
I know, because Joe's still collecting those pennies, man. Dude, I can get me a cheeseburger.
Yeah, like right now, I'm still saving them pennies to get Asteroids.
I'm not going to go in the other room because I do have a jar of pennies. But let's keep going.
Of course you do. I probably have several jars of pennies.
Let's go back to big.
I know you address, like, they put pennies in rolls as if, like, none of us know what the hell he's talking
about.
Yeah. As if, like, he's so above us in age. Back in my day, we were like, yeah, Joe, I never did that as a kid. Cash.
Actually, no, my parents still collect coins. There's plenty of like huge ass pickle jars that got quarters, dimes, nickels. They got like thousands of dollars in coins. And I'm just like, because they accumulate, they're just like, all right, well, I'll toss it in here. And my dad saves $5 bills. Anytime he gets change back, he'll just keep a five and like keep them somewhere. It's smart, but at the same time, I'm like,
you're like, Dad, there's an Ed 209 I have yet to get my hands on the neck to put out.
He's $80 now. He used to be 60.
So fork over the cash.
We're losing time. Hello to Jake Juggalo and JSP in the chat, by the way. Joe didn't get to you. But JSP's actually watching us from work. So good on you for getting paid.
What a man.
You're watching.
He's sitting in his cubicle like Tom Hanks, you know. Like, you know, John Lovitz is like, hey, try and keep it down over there. Trying to get hard.
There you go.
I was going to say, don't you guys know what the hell I'm talking about? It's just silence, like crickets.
Well, I mean, you brought us down with your whole speech earlier about it.
That was 5 minutes ago. We're making fun of Joe and his penny collection and getting asteroids, and you know, and I'm making fun of, you know. All right, never mind.
No, I never really did get sad because I, in my head, just pictured he got back with her. It took a while, but I always pictured, well, at least he got back with her. You know, it'd be maybe 6 years
later.
There's
no way to guarantee that, though, man.
That's it. No, but like I said, just like how you got depressed, that was my way of making me feel better. In my head, I thought, all right, they were back together, and hopefully everything was cool, and they had a relationship started back up, and she gets to start with him when he's 18 and move on fresh. You know, I don't know. That's how I look at it.
But I need some sort of sense. It's like when I would watch The Sword in the Stone when Arthur becomes a squirrel and he has to leave the female squirrel behind. That broke my heart as a kid. I'm like, oh, you can stay with the squirrel, man. Don't leave her. I didn't like seeing that kind of stuff as a kid.
No, I know. There was a lot of
things. I just would have liked some sort of hint or validation.
Let's think about it too. If he just stayed old forever, think about his mom. She was sitting there like her heart was just breaking every day.
See, that's what I would have felt like. Look, we got to make this work because I'd go nuts if my parents knew that I was, you know, or they thought I was gone or kidnapped by some guys or something like. Yes, that would devastate me as well. But I still feel like I would have tried to make it work and convince them that, you know,
made a wish and became that makes
sense. Plus you got your buddy Kopecky who is aware of what's going on, and you're not, you know, you're trying to keep it calm because you don't want to freak the parents out and stuff like that. But like, you're working for a toy, like arguably the Mattel equivalent in this universe here. You're dating a beautiful woman who works for the toy company. You're being put in charge of making toys.
You know, can we talk about that for a second? Like, man, I wish it could be that easy to get that kind of job. You know?
Hell yeah. All you gotta do is say I pledged every morning, you got the job, you know.
Yeah. The only reason I
with the boss in a toy store is like, I'm gonna put you in charge research and development.
Yeah,
I think it was his.
I think the only reason I wouldn't have wanted to stay 30 for all the time is you got to think, wow, you just have lost 18 years, you know, of your life. You're 18 years closer to death that quickly. It's like, that's why it's like, I wouldn't have wanted to stay 30.
Based on what I went through in high school, hell yes, I would have liked to have just bypassed all that shit, you know? I'm giving the Zoltar machine to go back and right the wrongs that I was handed back in high school and stuff like that.
What about your 20s? Because high school is only 4 years.
I know. Well, I mean, 20s. I don't have a whole lot. I mean, later 20s, yes. My late 20s were better than the early 20s. Early 20s were not. They weren't much better, you know, than high school. I mean, aside from the friends and the movies and the comic books and pop culture stuff, I mean, I don't have a whole lot of bragging rights from the early 20s. That's why, like, it would have been nice to go back, you know, and, you know, not the whole Back to the Future thing changing, but it just, if I'm going to be, hell, it doesn't work. I would have to travel back in time. Shit.
The damn time traveling paradox that I hate.
I don't buy all this nonsense, and I hate it when they do this time travel stuff. Why the hell can I just have a time travel machine, go back, hit on the girl that I had a crush on, and win her over because I know better, and beat the shit out of the guys that would pick on me, and shut them up, and then go back to where I was, and not facing any kind of like ramifications like the whole butterfly effect bullshit? Why can't I just go back? I mean, who knows this? How do you know that if you do this, that the entire fate of the universe has changed? How do you know that? Nobody knows. Instead, they make some bullshit Ashton Kutcher movie that says, if you go and do this, you'll be like, man, go to hell. You know?
Now we're just seconding it. Man, fuck Ashton Kutcher.
He'd go to hell, too. I hate his
movies.
Fuck
the cosplayers. And the hipsters.
But yes.
Tyler is on fire today. He caught me off guard. Like, it got so loud for a second. And I'm like, threw me off. Sir.
Picture this in something crazy. What if, you know, 6 years later, he goes back and he sees Susan. They finally reunite. And with Susan, she has a little six-year-old kid. It's like, how do you explain this? Like, this is your dad. Like, huh? But he was 12.
Oh, man, that would have been awesome.
How crazy could that have been? You got a six-year-old kid, and you're 18, and the kid's six, but it was when he was 12. Like, how do you explain that to anybody? Like,
no. I don't want to see that, because then when he reaches 18, she shows up on his door, expects 6 years worth of back payment child support. No, I don't want to see that.
Look at that.
Or plus, he's like, been going all through this hell as a single mom. No. I don't want to see that.
Look what you put me
through. This is not Forrest Gump, where she ends up, you know, by the way, he's yours now.
I'm going to die. Jenny, no.
And she just farts, kills her. She got X's on her eyes. You know. Yeah.
Or she died. Like I said in the book, she never died. I don't know why they had to make her die.
Yeah, I don't know why they did that, too.
Yeah,
I guess it just felt like, you know, it won't win an Oscar unless someone dies. Not just somebody. Like, three people got to die. We're guaranteed to get the Oscar.
Make it 100 times more depressing.
Man, Tyler's just raw today. He's ready to go.
My straw ripped. I can't even.
Now Joe's like, my straw ripped.
It did. Look at this.
He's like that old lady in Heavy. My fingers hurt.
Now your back's going to hurt because you just pulled landscaping duty.
That's the way Joe says, like, my straw is broke.
Yeah. My fingers hurt.
My straw is broke.
That's right. Well,
now Joe's going to have to use some of those pennies to go buy a new straw.
Well, I love the part where she said it, and he said, "Yeah, now your back's gonna hurt because you pulled landscaping duty." Anybody else's fingers hurt?
No, she's just sitting there like,
"Yeah, but it did. It broke. So now I got to do my covering the camera thing when I drink." So,
you got a small hole in your straw or something?
Yeah, that's what's showing. No shit, right here. Look at. I mean, you guys probably can't see it, but it's ripped open right there. It's just completely popped open.
Was that
so
a McDonald's straw?
Yes, it is. It is a McDonald's.
Man, I bet Joe goes in there, gets shit from the dollar menu, and you know how, like, off to the side so you can get ketchup napkins? Because I'm guilty of just grabbing a shitload of napkins. That way I can just keep them
Me
in my
too. I don't need to be.
I imagine Joe's just going in there and just taking the entire thing of straws, and he's got, like, a trench coat on, and he just shoves them in there. He's like, you know, there's, like, some old lady looking at him, and he's like, what? They want you to take the straws.
Well, I don't take that many, just a couple, but that's the good thing about when you get something to go. I can just go up to the side where those napkins, I get a big stack, throw them in the bag, grab a couple straws, get a big handfuls of, you know, some of the ketchup, but not all the places put ketchup out because people take a lot. Like Taco Bell, I get tons of the sauce and put in. I get maybe one taco and I get about 30 sauces. But, it's another side rant. But yeah, cheap ass straws.
That's Joe's grocery shop, and he goes to McDonald's and gets his ketchup and his sauce at Taco Bell. He gets his straw supplies there, and that is like his paper towels. He gets napkins. I gotta go to some grocery shop and visit Burger King, Taco Bell, McDonald's, KFC so he gets some sporks. So he may
come and go. Somebody eats at my house in style of putting out the napkins. They feel like they're in a fast food restaurant.
He saves like the containers, like chicken nuggets come in, or like the Taco Bell platters and stuff like that. That's the fine kind of stuff like that too, man.
Great. You guys made me cry. Thanks for that.
I gotta take a drink. I'm still listening, but you guys keep going.
Save all the cups from McDonald's and Burger King too? You wash them out and.
I do what a lot of people do where
solo cups you got.
No, but you
get scratch off like Monopoly. Like,
he's got like the Big Mac container. He's like looking on. Is this microwavable?
Mm-hmm. No, but the plastic cups that you get at McDonald's, you know, the good plastic ones, those can be reused sometimes. And I know I'm not the only person in the world. Like when you get a butter, you know, you get some butter at the store and it has the butter bowl. I wash
that
out.
But you don't get butter at the store. You get butter from McDonald's breakfast.
No, I really will get butter at the store. But when I do get the butter at the store, after it's done, you just keep that bowl and you can, you know, put soup in it or, you know, cereal or anything. So, yeah, it works. All right, how did I get on my cheap ass? I'm sorry. Let's go back to this.
Joe's thrifty tip strikes again.
There you go. But, no, I just, like I said, I always loved this movie when I was a kid because I always wish it was this old time machine and I could make a wish for something or anything.
Have you ever seen a Zoltar machine? Because Tyler and I have actually used one. There used to be one at Tanglewood Mall.
Was it actually called Zoltar?
The card would come out and it actually had the branding.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, maybe you weren't with me. Maybe it was like Sarah or somebody. I don't know.
It definitely wasn't me. I would have remembered that.
Yeah, but no, there was a Zoltar machine at Tanglewood Mall at one point, and it legit on the card. I think instead of saying your wish is granted, it has like a fortune on it. It's kind of like some generic shit you would get out of a fortune cookie, but it was still really cool. saved it. I have no idea where it's at, though. It's
I mean, cool. I've come across machines like that. They had one of like an old gypsy one with the crystal ball.
No, this one was legit a Zoltar for sure.
Yeah, no, I had seen that before. Wow, I just did you guys find the machine as creepy as a kid? Did you guys find the machine at all somewhat creepy?
Oh, of course. Think it was especially kind of the way machine. That they, yeah, not only the way it looked, but especially when you're seeing it's not, you know, it's unplugged and it's still working. It made it even creepier. And the music that they played and his crazy glowing eyes. And yeah, that was a spooky ass machine. That would have freaked me out if I would have seen.
Well, the way like the mouse just kind of moves up and down, and you know, it was just kind of creepy. But it's, you know, what makes it so that I just love the simplicity of that. Like it's a completely fictional story. But that just adds an extra level of intensifying the fantasy of this story of a fortune telling machine, you know, unplugged. And I love how it's just sitting off by itself. Like no one's acknowledging this machine because you're led to believe that it's plugged up like everything else, but everyone wants to play all the other arcade games that are popular at the time.
Well, I kind of like that part too, when he's walking towards it and you can just hear all the noise from all the kids. And then as he gets closer, it just really fades into the background, even though it's not that far away. It just,
yeah.
And you hear the wind, like you hear wind blowing and stuff, and you see the leaves going. It does. It looks spooky. I mean, it did. It really did. Now there was,
as a kid, you can relate to that because you know what I mean. When you're kids, hell, who am I kidding? I fantasize all the time as an adult. But as a kid, you'd see something like that, and you wonder if that would happen if we did come across something like that. You know?
Yeah, that's what I think. Just intrigued me the most about the movie is that wish and if it could happen. And like you said, he ends up getting an absolute dream, you know, a dream job. The one thing, and believe me, this is not a complaint, like I said, it's an observation, but you know, just seeing him anyways as Josh when he's with Billy, you know, the two kids are having fun and he doesn't seem too silly or young, but I felt like a couple times when I was seeing him as the older, I mean, as you know, Tom Hanks as Josh and being a kid, sometimes I thought maybe some of the things looked a little silly. Like I didn't feel like he was acting like he was 12 or 13. It felt younger. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know we've all done goofy stuff where we put stuff on our mouth and go, la, da, da, da. But, you know, he's doing that. He's just how he's nibbling on the little baby corns. I mean,
I thought that because as a kid, that was one of the things that stuck out to me the most because I didn't watch it abundantly as a kid. It wasn't until I got a little bit older. The corn scene and the beluga, that scene stuck out. And I mean, a little corn, when I would see them, like, and that's the only reference I had was that's the corn that Tom Hanks had. And when I'd see it in salad bars, I had no idea and I still to this day, because I don't eat corn. So I have no idea how you would eat those.
You know, Tyler doesn't eat vegetables.
Oh, well,
no,
just,
I don't.
Oh, I used to have those baby corns when I was a kid, but no, you just eat the whole thing. You don't nibble on it or nothing. You could just eat the whole thing. It's just
Tyler, you'll like this. There's actually like the little baby corns in the stir fry mix when Emily makes stir fry. So yeah, I haven't had them either. But when you started putting those in the stir fry, I looked at it, I was like, wow, that's really kind of weird. But as Joe said, you just like eat the whole thing and it just crunches in your mouth.
Oh, okay. I had no idea.
It's not like a miniature corn on the cob kind of thing.
I still feel like at times I'm just as naive as you know, 12 or 30 year old Josh and Big when it comes to a lot of life's things, I guess you could say. Let me ask you this: if Joe thought that was a little, all right, what about the fact that these kids, and that's why I still felt like that these kids are approaching that era where girls are starting to become a lot more interesting, but they're still enjoying the pleasantries of being a young boy in the 80s of collecting baseball cards. You still get action figures and things, walkie-talkies, but they're laying in bed in pajamas. So I'm assuming these kids are, and that's why that was something I always kind of felt like.
Yeah, they're right there, just on the cusp of puberty.
Yeah, and I still kind of felt like, I mean, I always felt like that was kind of a hard sell for me as a detail of like, these kids seem awfully old to be wearing pajamas. Cause I was under the impression they're in junior high / middle school, you know, but maybe in that regard, like, whereas I was, you know, never grew out of collecting toys and watching cartoons and comic books. Whereas my room in high school was filled up with toys and stuff like that. Maybe in that regard, maybe that's kind of how those guys were too.
Well, I mean, yeah, it makes sense. Cards and... It makes sense because he's 12 and he's still wearing underwear that's got like the print of whatever on the ass. So yeah, I agree with you guys on that point. It does seem they were a little old for some of that stuff.
Maybe that's the case that they still enjoy it. I mean, because they're laying in bed talking on walkie talkies and stuff like that too. Not that there's anything childlike about that, because who doesn't love talking to walkie-talkies?
I always wanted to do that, by the way. I always wanted to have, like, the neighbor kid that I could talk to with walkie-talkies or, like, tin can thing, because I would always watch Three Ninjas, and they had, tin cans, and I always wanted to do that, too. But
yeah, I guess when I was looking at the... Oh, first let me just say, Yanish in the chat room, happy 13-year anniversary. He just said that he's having an anniversary with the wife, 13-year marriage. Congratulations, bud, and good to see you here.
Did he spend it with us?
How great is... Wow.
I bet your wife is pissed.
Well, I certainly hope that the wife is being included on this, because if she is, we want to give her a big shout-out and wish them a happy anniversary on this Saturday here. So
she just looks over and, what, you're watching that again? I want a divorce.
Yeah.
So the anniversary just turned into mayhem. But like I said, the movie, it was just certain things. And it's like you were saying with the pajamas or whatever the hell they're wearing. It's sure, I still had action figures and things, but I was like, God, I was probably like 8 or 9, I think, when I was done wearing pajamas. So
yeah,
that part
kind
of, yeah, I was like, I was done with that. And just, it's some of the mannerisms. I understand that he's, playing a younger kid in a role, but I felt like whoever was telling him certain things to do didn't jive with me. Like, the other one is, okay, remember when he's describing to, oh, God. Oh, see, I just had a moment where I just went blank. McMillan, Jesus.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm sitting there talking about the damn logo of McMillan. I forget his name. But when he's talking with McMillan in the toy store, and when he's talking about things that he liked and how things have changed, and when he's walking and he's swinging his bag kind of like this, I was like, just trust me, 12, 13, I'm not swinging, things around like when I'm walking. That's usually what you do when you're kind of absentmindedly as a kid, walking with a stick or doing goofy things. I don't know, there's some mannerisms that annoy me, but otherwise, no, I love
how... I would buy that as more like he comes off as a bit nervous, because like when McMillan sees him laying in the floor convulsing from being shot at by laser tag, he kind of looks a little stand up. He's like, he's like, you're here with your kids? Like, no. And it just kind of feels like he's probably, I'd say that's probably a sign of like, you don't know how to act because you're talking to the owner of this toy company you work for. So I say it is just
that's a good point.
I don't say when I watch that, I don't look at that as, oh, 12-year-olds wouldn't do that. I mean, I'm still looking at the fact that it just comes off as a natural behavior that a young kid might be acting that, okay, now you're expected to act like an adult, and you just kind of like, it's like a fidget almost.
I understand.
But I mean, I get what you're saying about that and why you would think that. But to me, that doesn't come off as something that seems a little, I feel like overall the movie, and thanks to Penny Marshall's directing and Tom Hanks's acting and the screenplay and everything and everyone involved, it's hard, I feel like, for people to capture authenticity when it comes to children, and that's why it's such a big deal when they get kids right. And when you have an adult playing a kid, I mean, I feel like that's a lost art. I don't feel like people know how to do it very well. They try so hard to make the adult act like a kid. It's almost like, look at this. This is funny, isn't it? I'm 13 years old.
I mean, that's the thing too. If you were approached to be in that role, do you think that you would be able to nail like being a kid again?
I'll never forget what it was like to be. Of course, I was shy and nervous and things like that too. So I would know what it would be like when you're approached by a beautiful woman or in a serious situation, And one of my favorite parts of the movie is when he's going in for the job interview and says that, what school did you go to? It was called George Washington. Oh, GW. My father got a doctor of law there. Did you pledge? Yes. Every morning. God, I love that line. Because he's so sincere about it. And the guy just looks at him. It was just so perfect. It just felt as if like that was the most natural response of what a 12-year-old boy would say. When the guy says, did you pledge? Yes, every morning.
It's just like when he's getting ready to have sex with her, too, and the lights go off and he turns them back on, and just how awkward he is, I would have been the exact same way.
Yeah, he wants to see that stuff, you know, because like you said.
Yeah, I would, too. And, of course, when we're focusing on the booze, I'm sure Joe's like, no, turn them on! Joe's kind of leaning in slowly to the screen and kind of like trying to touch the boob itself, you know.
No, that's the thing. Yeah,
and he's like turning his head to see if he can see anything when clearly it's just a TV screen.
And then he's like, I can't see with this mask on, and takes the mask off.
I'm guilty of trying to look around things to think that's actually going to help in a movie back in the day. Yeah, I remember that. But no, that's what was so perfect about the movie. Like I said, it becomes big. He gets this dream job because, God, we love games. We love toys. Who wouldn't love the money to buy all that stuff? Then you, like you said, you finally get with a girl, first time you're seeing boobs or anything. It's like, yeah, that's it. And of course, then the next day he's all skipping and high-fiving.
Josh, my man, you know, yeah.
It's just, you would be on top of the world. And, you know, along the way, he somehow is quickly learning what it's like to be now an adult. Because you remember how he's wanting to be all serious about it when, you know, his buddy, Billy, oh my God, I just did it again when I was sitting there trying to say Billy, I almost said whatever, but Billy, you know, when Billy's trying to tell him, hey, we found this old time machine, he's not really wanting to pay attention now, he's more focused on his job. It's like he slowly was becoming too much of an adult, whereas, like you said, Susan, she was learning the innocence of childhood again. Of course, not knowing he's a kid, but you know what I mean, sitting there simply just playing with, you know, the radio station or whatever she was doing, or playing with the window. I couldn't remember what she was doing in the car, but I know she's trying
to talk to him about, you know, what kind of person he is and what she, and he's sitting there drinking his milk drink there, not really playing with the door.
Oh, he was doing the window, but then remember her, she was with Paul. Wasn't she screwing with the radio? Like she was messing.
Oh yeah. In the car. Yeah. Cause I love that. Cause then she starts laughing really hard at it. Yeah. Do you have to play with everything?
Exactly. Yeah. It's like simple things are like, yeah, it's like she was picking up some of those little mannerisms. Like she's just enjoying the simple things in life and not taking things too seriously. But he slowly was, you know, of course, until the end where finally he has to make his wish and, you know, go back to be young again. But I love the fighting, you know, like when they were sitting there and they were playing, when him and Paul was playing that fucking game with the ball. What was that?
Racquetball.
Sitting there playing racquetball. And then he's like, no, didn't you say this when they were sitting there talking about the rules? And he's like, give me the ball. No, no. And everybody's wanting
to play. Give me the ball. I imagine that's how Nathan was as a kid. Like, you know, no, give me the damn ball. You know, just like, playing, you know, wrestling with his buddy in his room. You know, cheats.
Yep, you know, it is Tom and any kid. You know? Yeah, you're gonna want to take it seriously. Like I said, when you're a kid and you're hearing the rules, you want to take this serious, and that's what Josh's character was doing. Held the ball like this, then he moved it like that, and he's trying to keep it away from him because he's like, "Hey, you told me the rules." He's trying to follow the rules, and it turns into a fight. It's like so many cool things, and of course the classic scene with him being there when he's looking at the damn building size skyscraper, and he's just not getting it. That's when he's like, "I don't get it," you know, and he's like, "Well, you know, many things turn into the same." He's like, "But this is a building that turns into a robot that turns into a building, you know, what's fun about that?" And then it spawned in the whole thing about prehistoric Transformers.
Yes, and I remember as a kid when I saw that, this was bullshit, because they've already done the Dinobots and Transformers, so don't act as if, like, you know. And then they've done the Insecticons, and they're all sitting on talking like bugs. I'm like, no.
I like how when Tyler starts talking about Transformers, his voice glitched a little bit, and he almost sounded like a robot right there.
Oh, cool.
Okay. But, and of course, it's like
Soundwave.
I just love Paul's classic thing when he was walking, "I don't get it. I don't get it." That part,
yeah,
just...
yeah, that was awesome. Just see the look on McMillan's face.
And then she's like, yeah, she smiled. Like she got a little, like, you know, guilty
like
pleasure
she's
out of
enjoying
that.
Seeing how upset he gets.
Yeah, she is. God damn it. Just what a good
There were so many, like when we see Josh, you know, working on, or trying to get the copies made, and he ends up running to McMillan and John Hurd and Susan, and he's like looking at, you know, down at her blouse and she mm-hmm. her bra and her cleavage and stuff. I mean, that's one of those things that, you know, you clearly like her, like, oh wow. And but you're like, I was told to get the, you know, like you're under the pressure, like you just feel like, I mean, that's what Tom Hanks said, he should have won Best Oscar, and why Nathan is right. A movie like this today, like we can't have something like that on the same, you know, selection of films as all these other movies that people don't give a shit about and they'll forget about by the next Oscar. You know, it's just, it was it's a work of art, Big is. I mean, from all aspects, because they really did get everything of how a 12-year-old boy would react in those situations, that you would be freaking out over a paycheck, that you would say, three dimes, $100 bill, and 87 ones.
Yeah.
You know, because make it feel like you got a whole lot of cash. Like,
I would have lost it.
Oh, I kind of wonder how much 187. I'll have to look this up. How much $187 in 1988,
I believe. Yeah.
Well, we'll say 87 because it's the time period of when they filmed it.
Yeah.
$187 in 1987. How much that equates to today? I'm going to look this up and see just how much he was getting paid. I'm assuming this was a weekly paycheck and not a bi-weekly paycheck.
Oh, yeah, that was probably a weekly paycheck, yeah. And I'm sure that still was probably a good amount of money back then. I mean, that's some good money back then. But I remembered I used to take my money if I could ever, like, you know, get some dollar bills here and there, and I'd roll it, and make it look like I had a big, fat wad or cash, and, you know, just a whole bunch of money. So that's why, yeah, hearing how much money he got, I would have been just like him, too, freaking out. Like, look at all the stuff he get. Now he's got a bigger apartment. He's buying all these arcade machines and toys and, like you said, trampolines, all this stuff. It's like, that'd be a dream. I mean, when I had 20 bucks as a kid, I felt like, I don't know, I felt like I hit the lotto. It was just so much money.
Because you feel like he's not going to be focused on buying adult things. He's going to want to buy, you know, an inflatable Godzilla and pinball machine. And,
right.
And of course, you know, granted, you know, I will say as a 30-year-old man with a 12-year-old mindset, you're probably going to piss your money away pretty quickly. But, I mean, to have the money to have a Pepsi machine put into your apartment, fill it up, I mean, that's where that, you know, he would have to learn how to save up money for a little bit to be able to afford all that stuff and buy a high-rise apartment in New York City and stuff like that too. But no one wants to see reality in a movie about complete fantasy.
Yeah.
And know what I wouldn't want to see that either. I would want to see what a 12-year-old boy would want in his apartment. I mean, and when I watch that movie, that's what I would want my apartment.
Hey, that's what you do. I know I do it. I'd be fine. Yep, the same exact things. And as for just, I'm thinking, I don't know how much. I don't think inflation was too much. It'd probably be just over 200 bucks, like maybe 210 or less. I would say that's what it'd probably be comparable to now. But I don't, you know, just.
Well, JSP and I have differing numbers. He just posted that's $397 today, whereas the one that I looked up here says 423.
Still, really that's a big chunk of change then.
Yeah, to get paid that every week in 1980s money, yeah.
Hell yeah. I mean, that's, well, no, I take it back. If you probably could afford, you know, to pay the rent, buy all the toys you want, go to a Yankees game and just kind of go and have fun and do whatever and be carefree and
I mean, I'm kind of like that with my job now because I've been texting Tyler. I'm like, I bought another figure. I've been buying like a shitload of action figures
lately. And I'm just sitting here in my apartment in the pit of despair because I'm afraid to spend any damn penny.
Damn it.
You know?
That's what I forgot to show you guys. Oh, I'll have to post it online. I did buy an action figure at Target. It was a clearance doll. They had the entire series of them, and they only had one left of a particular character. I got that little mini metal Ultimate Warrior wrestler figure that they were had, you know, that was like about 1 inch, and it was clearance all of them for 48 cents from Hulk Hogan, Macho Man, a current ones. But
clearance to 48 cents from a dollar.
Yeah, from a dollar, and they got it now to 48 cents, and I bought it. I found it. So I'll show you that later.
Okay. No, yeah, I can see. Joe buys them all, and then, like, he just reaches in his pocket, and he's just got the shitload of rolls of pennies, because what a roll of pennies is, what, a dollar?
50 cents.
50, all right, so he would have way more.
It's over, like, a roll of pennies. Here you go.
Well, see, what happened was I was just doing some browsing in Target.
Actually, no, give that back. I need these pennies.
I got a jar. I'm aching to get refilled.
I was just browsing in Target, and I went over. I seen that they had all them wrestlers. I was like, oh man, it'd be cool if they had the Ultimate Warrior because they have everybody else. And they had one Ultimate Warrior left, and it said clearance 48 cents. And I was like, awesome. And I reached in my pocket, I had about 73 cents of change. So it worked perfect because I think it came to like 55 cents or I don't know. So I was able to buy a figure finally. So I'll show
you. You hyped that up as if like you went and found like the $20 Ultimate Warrior for like $10, something like that. I paid 48 cents, man.
Well, for me, it's cool. I'm glad I found it. So I was able to afford a figure, and I got a really good price.
I mean, that story just died out like a small dying rat.
No, it didn't. It actually is pretty cool. If you guys were looking for them,
that story has got X's all over its eyes. You know,
they got 40. It's
drooling out of its mouth.
I'm going to post a picture of it later online. I'll show that I got it for 48 cents over there at Target. So if you
and guys you'll have like a 250 likes, about 3,000 comments. You know,
Tyler's like, this is the guy who posts a picture of a fucking pear and had like 90 comments about a pear. But I did that just to see if it would. And it, yeah.
Yes. And I let everyone, hey, we got Blade from the live action movie just talking about.
Martin, I don't get it.
That, yeah, I don't get it.
Joe just posted a pear. It looked like the Ghostbusters logo. Woo-hoo.
I mean, Joe could post a picture of a foam peanut. Hey, man, check this out, man. What do you think it looks like? Oh, my God! Like, oh, I don't have time for this, honey. You know?
Yeah, Giannis just shoves his wife out of the way. I don't care about our anniversary anymore. Joe posted this. Did you see
it? Look at this. Peanut, man. Can you believe it? Yeah, and then Facebook shuts down. Joe's getting bamboozled with messages left and right.
Good morning, America is giving him a call. Yeah, hey, can you tell
Joe
us about
London
this?
Joe decides to come out and say, Joe, we want to fly out to New York. Bring your phone peanut here.
I can't do that.
I'm sorry. I just can't. Jimmy Fallon's like, you know, we got you and a bunch of other YouTube, you know, jerk offs. We want to have you on first as like the prime guest. Bring your phone peanut. And I got a really lame ass skit we can do with you about the phone peanut. I'm just like, I'm afraid I can't, man. I mean, I've got 48 cents and I was told they're having a variant Ultimate Warrior available only at Big Lots if I show up on the third Thursday.
I got a drink. Oh, jeez.
This is just madness, man.
You know what? This is my new favorite show now. You know, I said, what was it, a couple weeks ago? This is the best episode we've ever done. This is the best. It's going to be like Tony Schiavone. This is the greatest night in the history of our sport. Like every week.
Round time!
Yeah, round time, we're going to go!
In the chat room, Daniel Maynard just said, Joe Amato splurged? So I guess he knows about me and my money shit.
I wonder if Joe like walked into Target like with his top hat, monocle, and his flipping his cane here. He's like the Monopoly guy here and decides, and then he kind of tosses that roll of 50-cent pennies here. And it's like, Joe!
Hey, no, with tax, it was 55 cents, so he would have needed to.
And he's like, you know what? I found this nickel on the way in here, and then flips it to him, you know?
Like, lick it right there. Oh, that's great. God. Jesus. Oh, man. Off topic again, but it's great. I still am going to show that picture later, though. I was so excited.
Oh, I'm sure
I was.
You
I mean,
are.
I'm excited.
Just the amount of affection and attention Joe will get for that.
I just got excited. That's all. I don't.
You need to make a comment and just be like, this makes me sick.
Yeah.
Jesus. So well hey Nathan, how about you get us back on topic on Big since we rambled a whole lot.
Let me ask you guys about the hotel clerk, you know. Hi. In there. don't tell me you guys don't laugh your ass off when
you're saying. Well, I mean that and then like a $10 deposit for the sheets, and I'm just like, oh, I don't want to know like how many like jizz stains are encrusted in those. Oh. And
he's like,
just willing to
get out of the bathroom now, you know.
Oh, man. What was the name of the hotel? Was Saint James or something?
Saint James, yeah. It's religious, Josh.
Oh. Yeah. Just thinking about it.
They pass that homeless guy on the street. It's like, kill him, you know? It's just the stuff.
I mean, it does kind of remind me when my parents and I went to Florida. When I was 9 years old for vacation, we went to Disney Universal and Daytona Beach. And the hotel that we stayed at Daytona Beach was honestly kind of similar to the room that it was just gross. And my mom, I think we went down the road and went to like a grocery store. And mom just bought like cleaning supplies. And she was in there just like scrubbing.
I can totally see your mom doing that too.
Yeah, she was just like scrubbing and like none of the stains were coming out. It looked like someone had been murdered in the bathtub. It was gross. My mom wouldn't even let me, like, I had to have my shoes on when I walked on the floor. She's like, no, you keep your shoes on, because I guess she thought I was just going to get some deadly virus from that place, but holy
shit. Sounds gross, though. Yeah, I can understand that. That sounds terrible.
Yeah,
but yeah, what about... No, that's the thing I liked about this, though, is like you said, first he goes from that shitty hotel, and then he moves on up to, you know, a really nice hotel. But just to even see, like you said, how quickly he had to grow up, not only from just where he worked, but even kind of like life situations. Like, he wasn't used to that stuff, like when he was in the hotel room and hearing all that screaming and stuff outside, you know, you're frightened, and he's crying, he's away from home.
That's a sad scene, too, you know?
It is.
Yeah,
it's scary. Thought of that. What if that did happen to you? But then to see later, he's sitting there watching a movie where there's guns and shooting, and he turns it off, and he's in the background. Like,
he's watching The French Connection.
Yeah, and he's absolutely like, just used to it. It's like, wow, that's a quick change, you know? But yeah, you'd picture if that did happen to you as a kid, you're frightened. You know, you can't go back home because obviously your mother isn't going to, you know, you're sitting there trying to tell her the story. She thinks you're, you know, obviously an intruder.
She so pulls out a kitchen knife and he pulls his pants down. That's my birthmark. He's like,
He had to leave. You know, that's what's sad. He had to leave. Now he has to wait to get that damn machine to come back so he can go back home. You're right.
And well, see, that scene itself, when he walks in and she goes, don't. He's like, oh, sorry, Mom. Sorry.
Yeah, he goes out and wipes his feet.
He's like, I made this for you. It can't. And it breaks it. Immediately trying to put it back on the shelf. He's like, where is my child? Pulls out that kitchen knife. Ah, please! You know, just, God, it's just insanity, man. Oh, man. And I love the actress who plays this mom. I remember she was on a season of Frasier for a while, too. I like her. She's the mother in Last Action Hero as well. Her name escapes me, but she was just awesome in that. Playing like the traditional, like, mom who wants to take a picture of her kid while he's in line trying to mack on the girl. And of course, there's your parents are wearing, you know, amusement park attire and take, hey, honey, over here. You're like, oh, shit.
Man. Yeah, but see, they're doing it, not realizing what they're doing. My dad would do that shit, and he would actually be doing it on purpose. And he'd just be like,
of course he would.
What a dick.
Did they ever? Yeah. Reason they never showed the father in that movie, or did I miss something?
He's only in it for like one scene though.
Oh, was it? Where the hell?
At the amusement park.
Oh, damn! You guys were just saying that. Yeah, exactly. Shoom, stew over the head.
Yeah,
it just didn't seem like they focused. Exactly.
I was at home.
Yeah.
No, it's just weird they didn't focus on him anymore. You know, it's usually just more about, you know, the mom and stuff. So I don't know. I just thought that was kind of weird that he did.
Well, he may have had more. I mean, that's one of those things.
May have been in those deleted scenes that Tyler watched to hype himself up for that alternate ending that wasn't on there.
That was never. And Nathan's like, I think I read it on a forum somewhere that just said, wouldn't it be cool if they did this? So he interprets that, oh, that's going to be on the special edition. I know who would appreciate that. Let me go tell Tyler.
Hey, by the way, Scorpion King's getting really good reviews.
What?
God, man. Yeah, that's where Nathan set me up and talked, man, because I was bored on Sunday. He's like, you know, it's actually getting pretty good reviews. Like, I guess I'll go give it a shot. I'm like, what the hell was that? He's like, it sucked.
He probably just relished looking at you probably the whole time during the movie.
I didn't go see it. He went out on his own.
I went out on my own because I was bored on a Sunday, and he's hitting me up telling me how great it's. People's team's actually pretty good, man. And that was back when I actually had some, you know, respect for The Rock. I appreciate him as a wrestler and stuff. I'm like, and I wanted to believe it would have been a good movie, even though I'm like, I don't think it's going to be a very good movie because Money Returns suck balls.
See, and, what you just said there, that's the one reason, I guess, Tyler, you wouldn't have wanted to go from 12 to 30. Think of all the amazing times with Nathan that you would have missed out on if you went from 12 to 30.
Well, see, Nathan would have been the Billy. He's like, I'm 3 months older than you, asshole. Like, except, actually, it would have been the other way around. I'm older than Nathan by
3 months.
May.
How about 3 months?
Nathan would have been like, yeah, we didn't plan that. I'm 3 months younger than you, asshole. And,
yeah, you know, this is actually also one of the few movies that's rated PG that has the word fuck in it. Because I read up on that, and it was... Because that caught me off guard. I forgot all about him saying fuck in the movie, and then when that came there towards the end, I was like, whoa, I totally wasn't expecting that.
And I'm sure that's probably what's allowed because the kid says it, and it's not... that's what I almost feel like that's... one of those things where they probably wanted to avoid a PG-13 rating. Yeah, like, how do you allow a rating like that? Because PG-13 had been introduced in 1984, I think, when Indiana Jones Temple of Doom came out. So I almost felt like because the kids said it, that's why they got that rating.
Yeah, that makes sense.
If an adult had said it, that would have come off as a little
bit. Yeah, it's rated R now.
Yeah. Which I just feel like the whole, as if like, come on, people, stop pretending like 12-year-old boys have not heard the word fuck before. You know?
Let's ask this. When was the first time that you sort of cursed? Like, really, like, started to say words often? Like, I know, seventh grade? See, mine was sixth grade. Joe, what about you? Joe's like, I don't curse.
I never. No, the thing is, in front of my parents, it was a respect thing. Never cursed. Best for cursing in general. I always heard, you know, five. So much. Like, yeah. Well, but Jesus, you're thinking I'm watching horror movies. I'm hearing it all the time. I remember quoting The Shining where, you know, he was like, Wendy, give me the bat. Give me the goddamn bat. You know, when he's like saying that to Wendy. I remember we went on vacation and I was in a McDonald's. And
of course you were.
It comes back to it every single time. So
I smell a sponsor.
So I was going up to the counter, hey, I don't have any cash, but I do have this really cool looking foam peanut. You know, and they give him like,
oh, wait, you're that guy from that podcast. Here, have all the food. Eat like a king.
Yeah. But it wasn't there because
can't take that.
I liked quoting that line so much, and my family got a kick out of that, and they wanted me to do it in McDonald's when we were like on vacation. We were heading towards Houghton Lake, Michigan, and we're inside McDonald's and we're eating. And they said, "Do the thing from Shining, Joe. Do the thing from Shining." And that's when I did the scene and had everybody in there cracking up just because this little kid's cussing. So yeah, I was pretty young. So yeah, that's all.
So were your parents using you as like a parlor trick? Like, you were like the monkey, and your dad's in there cranking like the machine with music, you know, while you're sitting there.
Pretty much. I love that. I love doing that scene. Yeah. I pretty much cussed a lot, but I tried to around people. I try to be respectful. You know,
I don't know what would have happened to me because my brother cussed a lot when he was, I think, 4 or 5 because he hurt or no, actually younger than that because the husband of our babysitter used to say, "Oh shit," all the time. And so then my brother picked it up from him. And of course, my brother cussed. Everyone's just laughing at him, telling him, "Don't you say it! Don't you say it!" If I'd have done something like that, I don't know. I don't know what would have happened, you know, because my dad would go nuts when he would hear cussing, you know, in a Van Damme movie sometimes. And, you know, I told Nathan about that.
Yeah,
Turn that off. I'm like, oh, you know, but yeah, had no problem with me watching Predator or Point Break or Bloodsport. Various other rated R movies, but to certain times where the F bomb would get dropped, or don't give me that bullshit, Dollar, turn that off. You know,
see, I didn't start cussing around my parents until I was much older. Like, obviously, out of respect thing, I never cussed in front of them.
But I remember at one point my dad started mocking cuss words we would hear in movies, like he would start making fun of Joe Pesci in Casino.
Yeah.
You know, instead of saying motherfucker, you say, "You mutter butter. Don't give me that bull chick."
Nutter so like, butter. Oh,
yeah. And we was like, "Dad, can we say it too?" He's like, "Yeah, you guys can say that. Ah, that bull chick and mutter butter."
Everything's funny. I remember as when I was about 4, John was over at the house because he was always at the house when we were kids. And we're sitting there and we're just like talking and we got into this thing where it's like, hey, let's say cuss words. Like, no one's around.
So I'm screw.
Just like, yeah, so I was just like, shit. And then we kind of like made up this little story. And then he was like, I got to go to the bathroom. And he like takes off. He went and fucking told my mom that I was in there cussing. And she came in and was like, were you cussing? And I didn't know. It caught me off guard. I was like, And then I got a whipping for that. So thanks, John. I got him back.
A picture that's like
afterwards.
A Christmas story. It's like, oh, I didn't do nothing, Mom. And your mom's like, just, you know, beating the hell out of you. And John's in there, doing like the whole jerk off thing you used to do back in high school.
The only time I cussed in front of my mom and it had something to do with a video game. Isn't that crazy? I was playing that muscle wrestling.
That's a shocker.
Yeah, isn't it? I'm playing muscle wrestling on Nintendo.
And muscle wrestling. Of all games.
Yeah, I was just on a roll. I mean, I was on a roll to where it just, I kept, you know, it's like maybe one match you went to the next, the next, the next, the next. And I was like over 100 matches, and I was just, I had this pattern going on. And as I was doing this, one of the neighbors was over. They're sitting watching me, and of course people are talking too. And the one older neighbor was sitting there, was like, "You doing pretty good, Joe?" And he like pushed me on the shoulder. I was like, "Yeah." And he was like, "You doing pretty good?" And he pushed me again. I was like, "Just kind of don't push me." It's like, "I'm playing." He pushed me again and pushed, and then the controller slipped, and then I lost the match. I said, "Why'd you fucking push me?" And my mom, everybody got quiet. She looked at me. She said, "Joe," and she pointed her finger. She said, "Come here." And we went in another room, and I started crying because I never was hit, and she never beat me. I was never beat, but she's like, "I can't believe you cussed." I was like, I'm sorry. I'm sitting there crying because I cussed. I felt like I let her down. I was like, "Well, you made me lose." And she was like, "Don't cuss like that." It's like, "I'm sorry." Oh, man. That was the one time I let her down. I felt horrible, but damn it.
That was a jerk thing to do for the guy. I mean,
it was.
People do that when they want to come over and be friendly and want to come over. Hey.
Right.
Hey,
right.
You know, it's just like, dude, I get it. You're here. You know?
Yeah, and that's what I mean. He shouldn't have been doing it. I think that's why she knew. She didn't yell. She didn't scream. She was just kind of like, "You shouldn't have said it." And that's why I was like, "I'm sorry," and I'm crying and everything. But she didn't yell and scream. She just took me in another room to say it because she probably knew the guy, obviously, was an idiot. Doing it. I was like, "My God, I'm on a roll. I'm on fire." And he's pushing. And then I lost the controller and I lost that match. And damn it, was I mad. So that was the one time I lost it. That was it. Just one cuss. I had to drop the F-bomb. It happens.
It was a good choice.
It was. Out of all things, muscle wrestling. Out of all things, muscle wrestling on Nintendo.
Well, so that doesn't sound like something too far-fetched from Nathan, you know, because Nathan was so hot-headed when it comes to games, too, and stuff like that. So I could see Nathan, you know, easily. But obviously, he had pretty good discipline growing up as a kid. You know?
Oh, yeah. If I got too out of line, my parents, like, they kick my ass. Not, like, beat me, but, you know, I would get whipping.
I didn't get too many as a kid because I was too... I didn't act up hardly at all because all my parents had to, I'll say because I was like a scared puppy. All my parents had to do was like raise their voice at me a little bit. Oh,
no, yeah, you know? I could see that.
Yeah, I mean, I did get a couple spankings from my dad and his banana hands, you know, and I'll never forget those. And there was only maybe I think three times because my dad's voice was always really loud, so he didn't have to do much. And of course, upsetting my mom was a big deal too. My mom did cuss one time because she thought that she'll probably kill me if she knows I tell this story. So I'm going to tell it anyway. She never watched this podcast anyway. But we still like to make fun to this day where I had misplaced a Walmart gift certificate I got from my grandparents for Christmas. And it was just in the car, but I couldn't find it. And my mom got so put out with me. It was on the Sunday of all days. And she says, "You might as well just flush it down the fucking toilet." And
great.
Me and my brother were just...
Yeah, isn't it weird when you're like, because when the first time I heard my mom say fuck, I was like, what?
What's that?
Yes.
Exactly.
And she, like, even to this day, she doesn't like to use that word.
No, my mom doesn't either. She kind of like cowers down and her tone trains. Even when we just laugh about it, she still talks as if like she was, and I get it as a mother. I wouldn't want to lose my cool in front of a bunch of kids. You know, like that. So she feels awful about that to this day. But we just laugh and carry on about it and things like that, too.
Oh, yeah.
That's just the kind of rapport I have with my mom.
Well,
next time I'm
around your mom, I'm going to be like, "Hey, Tyler told that story about..."
Oh, no, I'll probably tell her later today. It's like, "Hey, you know that podcast I do that you probably, dismiss of? I told that story about how you cussed me as a kid. It was great." You know, awesome. I'll tell her that today. And she's like, "Oh, my God." Like, yeah. Yeah, it's like that now assorted people from various parts of the world are going to know that my mom cussed me over a lost Walmart gift certificate that I found within a few moments after you cussed me.
And then Joe shared it online, and, "Hey, we're going to the Ellen Show next week."
Yeah. Come on, yeah. They're inviting you out, and then you can go out there and do your bullshit dancing with Ellen, too.
And everybody's going to find out. Well, first, let me say just a couple things. One, I never got a beating. Not that I wasn't – I'm not saying I was the perfect angel, but
let's say spanking.
Spanking. I know. Yeah. Well, I never got
a beating. No, yeah, when I say that my parents kicked my ass, it was spanking. It's not like, you know, my dad's over there punching me in the head. "Why'd you do that?"
No, I didn't mean that either. I know you guys.
"Why did you do that, brother?"
No, I mean, I know.
No food for you. No food.
I can understand you guys weren't getting physically beat. I was just saying I never even got spanking, but I did want to say.
How was it that you could drop an F-bomb like that and never receive a slight spanking? I stuck my tongue out at 3 years old this. My dad took me out of the room and bam, bam.
I'm just kidding. I really didn't. It's weird. But also, Grimbot said he started swearing at age 5. And Janusz said, shouldn't Tyler grab a protein bar?
I'm waiting for him to just like destroy everyone's ears with another food
right. I'm not to create. I made sure I ate a decent amount of food before we recorded, so I wouldn't have to face, you know, because Jordan was telling me last week, because he was emphasizing how loud the eating was. Yeah, and I didn't really. He said he was watching on his big screen at home, like the podcast last week. He's like, guys, like hearing you like pick up how loud eating that cookie was. Like, I didn't realize just how loud it was.
Yeah, well, dude, your microphone's like hanging like right here.
Every time he took a bite and hit that wrapper, the screen just went to Tyler.
No, it was great too. And you're like, here, let me just take these out. That'll help me. You just sat them in front of you, and it's just like loud crunching. And you're just sitting there staring off. And the wrapper's just like.
It did. We could just see him chewing the whole time.
Joe and I are just like, I guess we'll just sit here.
It was great.
Yeah, because I assume you guys just kept carrying on and not really listening to me, you know, just chew away my sorrows, you know. I'm like Eddie Murphy, if you notice, when he bites into that Snickers bar and that glorious music plays when he finally breaks into it and takes a big bite. that was me last Sunday. Yeah, I was Eddie Murphy.
Yeah. See, there's the glorious stuff like that, and then there's also the glutton stuff, because you know how he shoved all those M&Ms in his mouth? I love taking just a whole pack of M&Ms, just not like a jar, but you know, you can down a whole pack of M&Ms.
Everything's in a jar in Joe's house. He's got a jar of McDonald's straws. He's got a jar of napkins in there. He's got toilet paper in a jar that he used for McDonald's, and probably grabs like toilet paper rolls out of the bathroom. I don't need a couple of those there. And,
well, I don't go that far, but yeah, I'll get pictures of something. But Jesus, now I'm starving. Now I'm hungry, and I'm getting lightheaded. So, Nathan, I'm going to pass it to you to see how we can wrap up this amazing episode about this episode.
Hey, this episode was amazing, and I like the fact that, you know, even though we went off topic like we usually do, it kind of worked in the context of what we were talking about, because we're telling a lot of stories from our childhood. Yeah. It plays into that, you know, thinking about... like I said earlier, it's sort of watching it too. It's just that struggle for me. Even still, it's like I'm 34 and I still don't really feel like an adult sometimes. And
me neither.
But then there's also times that I really want to just go back to those innocent times that we kind of discussed.
I mean, it's a shame because, you know, when you're in kindergarten, first grade, and you're doing homework of like 4 addition problems, and you're thinking, oh man, teacher's busting my hump. I got to get these reports due tomorrow. And it's just, you know, in your mind, you're thinking, man, what, why is this so hard? You feel like if you're older, you don't have to worry about that kind of shit anymore. You know, I don't have to be in school. I don't have to do that.
But then here comes another long laundry list of problems, including laundry. No one really likes to fold laundry. You know, most people I know just take it and throw it in baskets. That's what Emily does. That's why I have to fold all the laundry in the house. She's not here right now, so I'm just going to go ahead and say that.
Wow, so you
all turned on. I'm gonna tell her.
Well, hey, yeah. You're right. As when you're a kid, you just take everything for granted. It's like the magic, you know, laundry fairy. You just had everything just folded and it was in your drawers. Bam, there. Now you got to do it all. But now Janusz said, he's like, hurry up. He said, the wife gets angry. I told him, I said, well, what's her name? I want to try to give her a shout out. So I think he said his wife's name is, and I hope I don't mess it up, Janusz.
Oh, yeah. You're going to butcher this.
But here we go. I'm going to try it. I want to give a shout out to Katinka for letting your husband join us here in the chat room. I hope you guys are having an amazing anniversary and the rest of your day gets even better and better. And I had to give you a shout out, and I hope I didn't butcher your name. And I'm sure Janusz will correct me if I
hope that he's taking her out for a nice dinner, that she gave him permission to sit with us live here.
They're going to McDonald's.
Free straws and barbecue sauce. You know,
supersize
that. It's her anniversary here tonight.
take her out, get her a nice steak or something. Don't do the Joe cheap meal, if anything. Yeah,
Joe's like, I know where you can get a cheap steak.
And also, too, Iceman Traveler has an anniversary today as well. So it's just anniversaries.
Wow. Oh, well, that's great.
That's crazy. All right.
Well, happy anniversary to everybody there and their significant others.
Definitely. Hope we gave you a good little laugh for your anniversary and stuff. You enjoyed that for, of course, having an even better day when you do what you got to do. So,
but before I get into my spiel, one last question. If there was a machine and you could make a wish now, what would you wish for? Maybe we should think on that and come back to it on the next episode.
I mean, I think a lot of it would be to make my teenage years a lot more tolerable. You know, being able to go back and to avoid, you know, ridicule or being scared and all that stuff. Because it was hell being a teen. I had no fun being, and not being able, when you hit puberty and you can't act on, you know, your sexual inhibition and stuff like that. It's like, no, you're too young and this and that. And you're like, God, you just like to feel like, you know, if you go back, I would have wanted to change the teenage years. Or maybe I would go back to that incident where I went to Toys R Us and picked Jackalman over getting Beastman. That probably would have been one of the things.
That's what you would use your one wish on. I want to be young again so I could get that figure instead of that one.
No, most likely it would be good to go back and change my teenage
years. You would want to be young and go back and just fix all that stuff. But that's the thing. That stuff, yeah. Well, that's the thing too. If you went back and did that, then you would probably be a completely different person today. Well, maybe not so much for the better.
You never know. It's just, you know, you were saying what you just said is what I was going to have for my answer. I wouldn't want to change anything that happened in my past, good or bad, because it's what made me who I am today and where I'm at right now. But as for just simplicity, I would like, you know, I joke about it, but I would love it just to not have to worry about money. If I had enough money to where I know I can pay the bills all the time, you don't have to worry about if you went to the hospital and, you know, are you going to get kicked out? Will you not be able to pay rent? The money, really, I joke about it, but it's just something that can always be in the back of some people's heads. And for me,
I just wish
I didn't have to worry about money. If I could be just completely set with money and just have that nice deep breath and rest easy. So
I mean, now you're going to be with that peanut. It's going to make you famous.
Hey, shit, yeah, there you go. So no, definitely. But yeah, so that would be mine. But
I would go with yours just to have money, like to be stable.
And just never, yeah, really but, have but are anything. Are we talking about, like, so that's the thing. Are we being granted a wish of, are we talking about using what was done in Big, where you're going back to a certain point in your life
it could be anything. Anything you want. So yours is getting Beast.
Well, no, I thought we were going along the lines of
in the context of the film. All right. Well, I guess we could do that too. Would you want to go back and be young again, or are you, you know, would you just stay your age now? I don't know.
I mean, well, yeah, I would love, I mean, because it would be fun.
Tyler's just like, yeah, but what?
Well, no, because you guys are like, I want money. I'm like, that's not what happened in the film. The film was to change or to go back to a certain age or something like that. And you guys are like, no, I want money. You're like, no, you're missing the point here.
I want Beast Man.
You know, it's like, well, it's like, how does change, like, you know, so what you're saying is, like, if you had approached the Zoltar machine, like, I wish I had money. Is that so? You're just wishing for the ultimate wish, or wishing to go to a certain point in your life? Because I mean, I do understand with Joe, because I've in my mind I've said this before. You know, being picked on or not being able to have every He-Man toy or be able to experience cartoons or see certain movies as a kid, and building up to that, you know, not having, you know, women, you know, all over you and stuff like that at an early age. You appreciate it more when you get older and things like that too. So in that regard, yes, it does make you the person you are today. I'm glad I wasn't a popular kid in school, because I would have ended up like all those pricks we went to high school with the pop collar bullshit, listening to the shitty MTV music and watched all the crummy ass movies and didn't know what a quality movie was. You took it and smacked it by the head with it.
And there's Zima and there's Dan Fogelberg.
Yeah, and the hula hoops and Pac-Man video games. Don't you see? You know, so yes, I'm glad in that regard that, you know what, I went through that. It was hell, but part of me wishes, you know, it would have been great to go back and put those people in their place, and being able to speak to the popper, to the girls and stuff like that. It's fun to think about being able to go and change all that stuff. But
we got our 20-year high school reunion happening in like 4 years, and we should go, and you can just make all that right. You don't have to go back in the past. Show me. I look at my arms.
Ugh. Are you kidding? The girls are like, no, I have a dad bod here, okay? So I don't need that stuff, you know, or some bullshit like that, you know. I don't know. It's just like, it's hell. I don't want to see those people. I hate those people. I hate them so much. You know?
That's fair.
It, yeah, I just, I don't, I'm sure Joe was picked on too. So it's like, I just assume, you know what, the people that I loved in high school, I have at least ran into, or I've been able to catch up with over the years. Everybody else can go to hell. You know, it's just, I have no desire to see those people. It would be fun in a fantasy world. Yes, to go back and, you know, show them up, or if they decide to get physical, you can just smack the hell out of them and not have to worry about, oh my God, if I do anything, I'm going to get suspended. I'll get behind on homework and I can't do this.
Actually, you know what? I changed my answer. My wish would be that this podcast would just take off and this could be our job.
That'd be an awesome
wish. That'd be cool.
And it would be an awesome
wish. Yeah, if it paid good money. You know, that was a great compliment that Eric Amen gave last week. He said that he listens to a lot of podcasts. And God, I'm trying to remember. I thought that was maybe when we were doing this, or I don't know.
No, I think it's when you guys were doing fans, because I think I remember reading it in the chat.
Oh, the reason I thought was because, oh, I forgot you recorded for us last week. That's when I got confused. Okay, well, when we did Fans of Power, he said that he listens to a lot of podcasts, and he said that he loves ours so much more, and he said, and there's podcasts that he listens to where people pay and do Patreon stuff, and he said he wouldn't pay, you know, to listen to theirs for anything. But just to think, wow, there's some podcasts where people, yeah, they're actually getting paid for these things. And I always wonder, I was like, but, I mean, why? I mean, do you actually ask, like, hey, you know, donate $5 and we'll keep the podcast?
It's kind of like when people stream video games. They get subscribers. I think that kicks back $5 a month or something like that.
This is all just love. That's all I mean. I don't care. I mean, sure. I mean, if, like you said, hey, if we made money off or became rich, I don't know. But the thing is, this is just damn love. I don't care if we got a fucking penny or nothing. It's just, I mean, it doesn't matter if we're reaching hundreds of thousands or 10 people. It's like, I just love doing this stuff.
But I also feel like what we offer on this podcast and same for the other two that we do, because I've listened to a bunch too, people who want to talk movies, they don't go into great details, or it's like you're clamoring for substance. If you're going to talk about a movie, don't just talk about, you know, oh, yeah, great movie. Yeah, I remember that scene. Yeah, it was a good scene too. Like, dude, anybody can do that. You know, that's why it's always important to give details to this stuff. Yes. How many podcasts have talked about the movies we've talked about? I'm sure there's an ungodly amount of people on YouTube, on iTunes, Podbean, or whatever service, you know, that have done this stuff. But that's why I'm like, you know, but if I was ever given the opportunity to give a voice on a podcast, like I want to do what everybody else hasn't done, you know, and make it fun. That it should be. If you're going to talk about it. Don't try and bullshit your way around as if like you're some sort of, and we're none of us are expert on this stuff. We're just passionate fans. We look up the stuff because it's available free on the internet, like anyone else can do.
And that's what I think some of them, when I would look at a few, I feel like you said, when they're discussing one, I feel like it's probably they're like, okay, let me Google as much as this is possible. And then now let me read back everything I read with no emotion in my voice. It's like,
yeah,
just, we're just being real here. We're just going, shooting.
We're being real. We're talking about just our own personal experience with whatever we're talking about. And we just have a shitload of anecdotes along the way.
And it's right out. It's just right off the cuff. You know, like I said, it's nothing. It's like it's not rehearsed. We're not clean, polished, edited. Like, okay,
all right, Nathan, before we start, it's like, all right, now, Joe, around the 25-minute mark, you guys start talking about McDonald's, and then Tyler and I are going to give you shit about it. And then we're like, ha-ha, and then I'm going to pretend to laugh so hard that it actually made my eyes water.
We don't rehearse anything that's discussed on this. And,
it's not rehearsed. You know, it's all improv. Yeah, and it's not, like, edited, meaning, like, if somebody screwed up, we're like, oh, we got to splice that edit out. Okay, now
no,
let's...
No, we pull a vicious, man. That's live, pal.
Exactly. Like, and then let's post the clean, edited video. It's like, no, we're just doing it here, raw, right now, having a blast, and that is all it's about, man.
Yeah, the only thing that I ever edit is when these guys do the intro, and I say and we're live to give them the cue, and I do the audio version, I just cut that part out, and that's it. Everything else stays. Tyler's obnoxiously loud food wrapper, all of it's there.
Yep. And even if your dog popped up, I would have left it, because he was talking about that before the show. He's like, man, this is Saturday.
No, I would mute the microphone, but yeah.
No, I'd say leave it. I said, who cares? If they're barking, they're barking.
No, but that would just be like, I don't want to do that to the listeners.
Yeah.
And I was comfortable with everyone here that I was listening to them over here munching. I wasn't aware of all that. But I mean, you know what? People seemed to think it was funny, so why not just leave it in there?
It worked. So
I just said, just keep this thing uncensored, like the shitty WCW pay-per-view, you know. And
there is one. I think it was the first Uncensored they did. It was a tag match. It was like a street fight thing between Harlem Heat and the Nasty Boys. And this is when Sensational Sherry was managing Harlem Heat. And they go to the concession stand. And
I knew you were going to say that.
And her titty popped out. And I think they left it on that tape. And it was awesome, you know, for like an 11-year-old kid. I was like, oh, yeah, look at that titty.
That was me with that. Sharon Martel was hot, man.
Yeah.
I didn't like her as a kid, but as an adult, I'm like, God, man, I'd love to have
I still have it on tape. I still have on tape. I remember when Miss Kitty showed her boobs and when Miss Jack.
Oh, yeah.
Her.
Oh, man. I went to the bath because we got that pay per view live. I went to the bathroom. My cousin John was, I think Josh may have been there too. My dad popped in to watch. And I came back and they're all like, oh, you missed it. And I was like, what? It was like, there were titties. I was like, what?
Man, tell me on a thing for somebody missed. Yeah, I still got that recorded. I remember when Miss Jacqueline was in the ring and on that pay-per-view and she went like this and pulled and showed hers too. I was like, oh, dear God, I got all this recorded, man.
Yeah, no, there's one, I think it was like a UK pay-per-view where she's like on top of Mark Marrow's shoulders and Sable like rips her shirt off and her titty show. And she like, I was like, man, wrestling was just a totally different beast back then.
Well, I guess
I can't believe they got away with all that stuff. Really? Yeah.
God, with all the money they were making back then, they wouldn't give a shit who's complaining.
They're making more money now than they did in the Attitude Era.
Oh, God. Let's not get into wrestling because it's disgusting. But go ahead, man. Why don't you wrap us up, Nathan, so I can go get me something to eat.
Yeah, so Joe can go to McDonald's. He's got to go on a straw run, so we got to go ahead.
Straw.
Well, first of all, thanks to everyone that joined us today. I know we're doing it a day early because Tyler and I are going to that convention tomorrow. We're going to be probably doing some more shows throughout the next couple weeks too. So make sure you have that bell clicked. And if you haven't subscribed and you're new to the channel, make sure you hit that subscribe button. Check the stuff in the description below. Check out the Podbean. I'm leaving the email out because we never get any emails. I'm not going to mention that ever again.
I assume people just don't, if they're going to say anything, they just leave a comment on the YouTube. But how do we even get comments on the YouTube?
Every now and again.
I was going to say, does anybody comment on this podcast?
Mostly in the chat. It's usually the chat, which is awesome. I always like the interaction if they have something to say. Yeah.
And that's the perk of clicking that bell. So you're notified when we go live and you can join all these other wonderful people that are in the chat every week. If you want to find us on iTunes, search Pop Culture Network. It's going to have all the shows there, Beyond Retro, Capes and Commentaries, and Fans of Power. I think I'm still putting the link for your t-shirts in there, Joe.
I appreciate it. You don't have to do that.
Go buy Joe's shirts. That way he can
every shirt afford his own straws. Yeah, I could buy a sandwich at McDonald's for every shirt you purchase.
And we need Sally Strollers to show up. It's like, you know, with your donation, you can help in a motto in your area.
Get a burger. He can get a $1 burger on the McDonald's.
It's
menu.
Like you play like the Sarah McLachlan like doll commercial, and it's like a montage.
Oh, I hate that. So sad.
Yeah,
you see me Joe sitting on a stoop. You
know, no, it's just funny too because with the mask, he was just like looking off to the side and like, no, man, we should. Oh God, we should just film a commercial with Joe.
And it should have emotions on the mask—a sad face for the mask and everything,
a
little tear.
Yeah, there's your new customizations. You just make different masks to be sad and everything.
Right. Oh God. All right, man. Well, yeah, guys, it's been fun, and we'll be seeing you sometime next week, maybe a couple times. So, see you next time.
Yeah.
All right.
See you guys soon.